listening to Racing Nation on Radio Aerie.
Бойтесь в наших сердцах ненависть, бойтесь в наших сердцах боль. Вы оскверняете наше отечество, и мы отомстим за него любой ценой. Бойтесь, мы забыли о жалости, бойтесь, мы разучились прощать. Маршем идет по Руси жестокая молодость, дружины простых ребят, что хотят убивать. Маршем идет по Руси жестокая молодость, дружины простых ребят, что хотят убивать. Бойтесь в наших глазах презрение, бойтесь в наших глазах ваша смерть. Мы языки пламени освобождения, мы несем этому миру свет. И в наших руках знамя священное, и в наших руках ваша никчемная жизнь. Нас не пугают ни смерть, ни тюремные камеры, нам голос крови сказал, мы должны победить. Нас не пугают ни смерть, ни тюремные камеры, нам голос крови сказал, мы должны победить. Каждый из нас молод, в каждом горит огонь. Все ради мечты мы готовы поставить на кон. Хватит вас сомневаться, это твоя судьба. Вставай рядом с нами, мы идем на врага. И ты увидишь, как ото сна пробуждается наша страна. Умытая кровью Русь, как прекрасна она. Мы потомки богов, мы не рабы, нет. И на все нападки врагов у нас есть достойный ответ. В наших сердцах ненависть, бойтесь в наших сердцах боль. Вы оскверняете наше отечество, и мы отомстим за него любой ценой. Бойтесь, мы забыли о жалости, бойтесь, мы разучились прощать. Маршем идет по Руси жестокая молодость, дружины простых ребят, что хотят убивать. Нашим идет по Руси жестокая молодость, дружины простых ребят, что хотят убивать. Бойтесь, в наших глазах презрение, бойтесь, в наших глазах ваша смерть. Мы языки пламени освобождения, мы несем этому миру свет. И в наших руках знамя священное, и в наших руках ваша никчемная жизнь. Нас не пугают ни смерть, ни тюремные камеры, нам голос крови сказал, мы должны победить. Нас не пугают ни смерть, ни тюремные камеры, нам голос крови сказал, мы должны победить. Нам голос крови сказал, мы должны победить. Нам голос крови сказал, победить.
Слава, comrades. It is September 19th, 2017, and you are listening to Racing Nation on RadioArian.com. This is your lordship, Lord of the Northern Realm, Lord Goyhammer. And with me, as always, my comrade in the trenches and brother in fight, Sir Stephen Lanzer. We have another comrade with us tonight in the trenches, Edge. Welcome to Racing Nation, comrade.
How are y'all doing?
All right.
Good, sir. How are you?
Everything is well, you could say.
Just to give a little bit of background information on how we ran into Edge here. Edge has been a pretty good comrade, at least on my end, on gay-ass social media for, I don't know, at least a couple months. And I don't even know how I ran into him as how you ran into anybody in some fucking social media. So we would go back and forth. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but we have been doing a couple shows on people who either left-sided or grew up sort of conservative fell into the alt-right, and then bing, bop, boop, some way or the other, they ended up in, like, National Socialism ideology or circles. Edge being one of these people from social media we've run into, and being a young person himself, I thought he would give a good perspective and continue our conversation on this thread, a series that we're doing about, you know, young people in the movement and how they kind of came about. So, Edge, introduce yourself, give us some, you know, obviously nondescript background, and give us a little update on your journey from wherever you started to where you're at now.
So I grew up on the East Coast in a major northern city. That narrows it down. So if you want to stalk, you'd have to go on a road trip. But I actually started becoming racial, not just blacks commit crime or such and such, when I was around 13, 14-ish, and not, and in a way, movement racial. So I became racial during the V. Bolton days a good 10 years ago.
That's good.
So basically, there are, in a sense, three sort of ideas that brought me to racialism. One was World War II history, not so much revisionism, but the geopolitics of it. When I was 13, we had to read a book in seventh grade literature class about Germany, and teacher gave a sort of a rundown on World War II history, and I wanted to learn more about World War II, so I went to Wikipedia, and I learned about the politics of it, the international relations, found out that Germany just wanted a tiny, tiny little bit of Poland, the Polish corridor, and Britain and France declared war on them, and how they wanted to bring ethnically German areas that wanted to be part of the Third Reich, and how they really got screwed over in Versailles, and how they got screwed over in the end. I basically saw Hellstorm many years before the documentary came out, and I'm like, I thought the Nazis were evil. Like, that's so bizarre. And I also learned about later white demographic decline, as in it was no secret even back then. So, and I found out it was in every country, or every country had ultra low birth rates. And if it was just in one country, say Australia, and that was it, it would just be a coincidence or a result of that society being wealthy and people putting off kids. But every white country, even Lithuania, Russia, and I'm like, wow, this is scary. And so also from learning about that, I learned more about the movement. And when I was like 13, I also, at the time, I grew up with a sort of like perception that racism or racial awareness, as I would call it racism back then, is for old people and poor people. And it was the ultimate sin. And even though I had grown up in my father is semi-racially conscious, I still had that sort of view that people that are racially conscious and white, that's for poor people and that's for old people. And this is the most evil thing. And I started looking into the movement, like reading Stormfront, watching documentaries, learning about movement history, by the way, which a lot of young people don't do. And that brought me to one of the third angles, the persecution of white nationalists. My father mentioned Ruby Ridge as being this neo-Nazi town the government wiped out. And I wanted to learn more about this. And I found out it was actually this, it was a family that basically wanted to get away from Zog, and they were entrapped with sawed-off shotgun charges. Not a neo-Nazi town, as I would say back then. And they were white nationalists, but they just wanted to be left alone. And why are nationalists so persecuted if they're a bunch of cranks, as I viewed at the time when I was like a young kid? And I started looking more into movement history and such and such. And it was kind of a slow evolution, and it was kind of depressing. So I basically realized we're going to be a white minority in a country that hates us. And I learned about South Africa, and there would be no forgiveness for alleged atrocities. And Rhodesia, it would be like that, maybe. Basically, no one knows. And it was scary. I mean, At first, I hope these evil group of angry bald heads were wrong. I hope they were just psychos, but they're not. And then when I was 15, I started posting like casually on Stormfront. I read Thomas Chittum's Civil War II.
That's a good book.
And that book, a lot of people view it as sort of a downer, but in a way, any form of reshuffling the deck or accelerationism would be welcomed. Because at the current rate, if there is no collapse or no breakup or no anything, we'll just become a minority and history will end.
No, that's exactly right.
I also, when I was 16, I looked at a bunch of white national sites such as resist.com. I looked at Harold Covington's Northwest Imperative. I was a regular RFN listener back in 2010. I read all the novels. My favorite's A Distant Thunder, followed by The Brigade, and then would be A Mighty Fortress. And I'd have to say I like Freedom Sons more than Hill of the Ravens.
Yeah, you know what? That's funny because A Distant Thunder is my favorite. But then I like A Mighty Fortress, then The Brigade. And yeah, it's a toss-up between Freedom Sons and Hill of the Raven. But, I mean, it's, man, you know, if you're going to make someone choose, I would hate to have to choose. You know, they're all pretty damn good.
I also read the TD and I read Hunter. And in terms of writing style, I'd have to say Hunter is better because the sort of dialogue format of the JQ was interesting. So I actually learned about the Islamic immigration issue to Britain slightly before I learned about the JQ. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like I went through years of Jared Taylor, even though I do like Jared Taylor's stuff he puts out for the most part.
Edge, man, I don't mean to cut you off and stop you, though, but you kind of blew past Pierce's books a little too quick for me. The Turner the Turner Diaries.
It's a great book.
Yeah, I liked Hunter better, too. The thing that kind of hit me, it didn't hit me, it kind of struck me as, like, really depressive and kind of like, you know, towards the end of the Turner Diaries, man, it kind of got really apocalyptic, you know, and it happened real quick once the nukes started flying. Once the nukes start flying, I didn't like that because I just felt that any sort of a racial preservation was going to be very extremely hard and, you know, just not. And did you notice at the very end, it said something like, I don't know if it was somewhere in Russia or Asia or something where it was like a nuclear wasteland. And then there was, what I mean? He kind of went like, it got really apocalyptic really, really fast. And that's the only thing about that book that kind of turned me off.
Yes, China. And I think it's implied all of the Far East. So it said from the Indian Ocean to the Arctic and from the Urals to the Pacific, it's the Great Eastern Waste.
Yeah, but didn't he mention like mutant creatures and shit roaming the wastelands or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, that kind of part just, it kind of threw me because it happened so quick. But the other thing that stuck out, and I know we can get going, but it's very rarely do I run into people who run the Turner Diaries. But what I did like, and I think he was right on, if anything ever happened, I don't know, I want to say the balloon going up, but I want to, not necessarily like Mad Max, but like in California where those white liberators were liberating neighborhoods. Remember they were going through the black neighborhood and they're finding those houses with cannibalism and shit like that.
Oh yeah.
Remember? He was pretty graphic in that part.
It was really, really hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you any money, dude, that's not too far from the truth. Sure. You know, that would happen because they are animals like that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, we got to get our shit together. Otherwise, that's the kind of crap you're going to be facing, you know?
Well, I mean, look at their high watermark. I mean, their high watermark as a culture is, what, 1940s America? So, yeah, they're going to go feral real quick. I mean, once the shit hits the fan, they don't have any survival skills. That's why they're running around Africa eating fucking live game. They can't cultivate and farm shit. So I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, yeah, I read it when I was a kid, when I was younger, too, and Yeah, it kind of flips your lid a little bit about how apocalyptic and gruesome it gets. But I mean, these are guys are these people. They don't have a culture, and the culture they do have is borderline feral as it is. I really don't think it's going to take that much to shove them back down under the high water mark, where they are fucking eating people and doing all kinds of degenerate shit.
Yeah, it was bad shit in that
book. It's a good book, though.
Yeah, it is.
If anybody hasn't read it, I highly, highly recommend you read
it. It is entertaining.
Right.
You know, when I found my copy, it was in a used bookstore, and it was funny because it was locked behind the glass cabinet with like all the high end books, and it was behind the glass with the collectors and shit. And then when I was asking him to grab it, you know, all the workers and even the cash register.
How long ago was that?
That was at least three or four years ago.
And where was that?
It was at what's the used bookstore in our area, man?
Oh,
fascism.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, they're all a bunch of fucking piece of shit libs.
Yeah,
there, dude.
They're all. Like,
I'm surprised they even took that book in, bro.
Yeah.
That'd be the kind of thing they would just throw in the trash.
They could make money off selling it, though, because it's the forbidden fruit, essentially, of books.
Exactly. Yeah, but they don't care about that. I mean, all I'm saying is, like, yeah, they can sell it, but it's so illicit, I'm surprised they took it, to be honest.
Well, no, you're right. Go ahead, Edge.
Well, I got mine off eBay before. Yeah, eBay and Amazon used to be the Wild West for nationalist stuff back in the day. I actually have a hard copy of the TD and a hard copy of Hunter, as in the red copies.
Right. Before Dylan Roof, yeah. I mean, Amazon was a pretty good outlet for a bunch of white nationalist stuff.
No one raised a stink about it, you know? People just... Only like our people really cared, and maybe there'd be an article in the ADL every now and then about all the hate on Amazon.
Well, there are also theories, too, that Amazon catalogs all sales on certain books, and they register who buys what and where it's going, and they turn that list over to the feds.
I don't know. That's believable.
It's totally feasible. So I always, when it comes to the fucking Jew, I always count anything as feasible as something they're probably doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just works better for my conscience.
File, bro.
Oh, I know they got me on file, but, you know, I'm just saying.
I don't have the time and energy to be tiptoeing through the tulips with these assholes, man. I use my card, man. I use it. Amazon.
I know. It's a digital age and everything's sent to the house. Yeah. All I'm saying is if you want to go out and find literature as such, I would try to do it more and, you know, in real life, go to a store somehow. But that's a pretty good find, is some shitty old shit box like
fascism.
I'm surprised you found it there. What you didn't get to finish your story. What was the reaction to you when you?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, it was behind the locked glass cabinet, but but you would think they put a big price on it. No, it wasn't that much. And this wasn't the first time I read it. It's just I read it on a computer. Mm-hmm. It's just the first time I found a copy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was in with all the out of print, hard to find books that were expensive, but. Right. The Turner Diary book, and I don't know if it is an original copy, but like Edge said, it's the red book, and it's smaller, and it's got real small print. Is that like the original printings?
So I've seen like a bunch of images of the Turner Diaries online. There's one where it shows not the graphic of presumably Earl Turner and Catherine, where Earl's holding an M16, Catherine's holding a 19.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
It shows them behind a brick wall and a black police officer from the Equality Police coming towards, and they're both
sawed-off
shotguns.
I haven't seen that one. I got mine at a gun show fucking years ago, and it looked like it was somewhat decently pressed and it's in storage somewhere, but yeah, it has the red background M16 picture that everyone's pretty familiar with.
Yeah. Lanzer Boy, that's a good place to find books too, or used to be is gun shows.
Yep. Back in the day, my old man and me, we'd go to the gun show, and my old man was racially conscious, but really didn't support the white effort, which is kind of weird because he does collect World War II memorabilia, most of it being Third Reich. But for whatever reason, he wanted no affiliation with any, you know, pro-white organization. So I'd be drugged to the gun shows quite a bit as a kid. And when you walk in, back in the day, before, you know, the internet and computers, because I'm like 90. So I'd walk in like 6, 7, 8 years old, and you know, everyone in the moon is handing you flyers. Now, most of the flyers were pretty safe and, you know, had to do with ammo sales at booth 17 or this yep. guy's got a gun. But every once in a while you go through it and there would be, you know, pro-white nationalist, you know, KKK literature. And that just automatically turned me on. I wanted to fucking read that right away. But my old man would chase me down and go through the pamphlets real quick and try to pull that shit out. So after once or twice of going through the line, I would scurry ahead of him and hide all the stuff I could real quick that I wanted to keep, shove it in my pocket, let him go through the other flyers, and then he'd give me the green light. Wow. We'd be on our way. Then I have to sit on it through the whole gun show and not be able to look at it till I could take it home. So yeah, it was like white nationalist porn for like an 8-year old. That's a true story.
Yeah. Well, I became racial through the internet essentially. Uh-huh. But and I'll add this thing. This is a big thing. I became racial before the movement was associated with 4chan.
That's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, if you've been racially aware for 10 years, I mean, that's a lot longer than this wave of fly-by-nighters that we're kind of dealing with right now.
And the problem with being internet awakened, if you will, I mean, obviously it's a tool people learn, you absorb, it's great. The difference is between like maybe like myself and like Lord Goyhammer here, I have a pretty early history where I was taught like hands on to like, you know, people handing you books and talking to you. And, you know, there wasn't information online to gather, really. I'm really surprised and I'm very happy that someone like yourself, who was curious about white identity politics, if you will, white nationalism, national socialism, would actually backtrack and go through the history and actually do that. And the other guest we just had on, Julia, actually started off way on the left. Well, came from a conservative family, started, ended up left, did the same thing where she started finding stuff on the internet, but then like yourself, which I think is a really, really important step for people to do, so you don't come all half-cocked like baked asshead, is the fucking, you take your history and you read about the movement's history and you find out the truth, hence why people like the Weavers coming off the grid are chastised and shot down by federal governments, because they're not allowed to live off the grid. They're not allowed to be separated. They're not allowed to walk around with the truth. You know, they walked around with the truth they weren't allowed to have. It was kind of like the cardinal sin of white nationalism. Anyways, going back to my original point was, I'm really glad though, the people who are falling through the cracks or finding a way online and learning about white nationalism is taking the time to learn its history. And I think that is a huge difference between you, Julia, and a lot of these other people that quote unquote, you know, represent white identity politics in the current USSA.
Now, the other end of it is the alt-right, I'm very highly critical of, but in a sense, it's the subculture has brought a lot of genuinely concerned people about the fate of our race. But I believe there are certain corrupting pundits and corrupting people guiding it. And I do think it's good that we do have a subculture, in a sense, mm-hmm. that a lot of young white people will come into contact with and they'll get racial consciousness. And sure, it might have some nefarious things in it. And when I saw like a lot of people becoming racial on 4chan, I believe it was organic. And the fact is, there's no hiding from what's going on outside. And faced with the truth, a lot of white people will, a lot of white young men and some women will learn the truth, and they'll know what's going on racially. And even though they'll support some certain pundits, such as that are kind of moderate, such as Richard Spencer, it's the alt-right has many flaws, but I think overall it's good, but not by much. It's maybe 49% bad, 51% good. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people in the alt-right refer to traditional white nationalists as white nationalist 1.0s, and they call themselves white nationalist 2.0s, the ones that actually will not shy away from the term white nationalist, mm-hmm. not like faked Alaska or Jared Taylor.
Okay, it's one thing to do that, But it's another thing, in my opinion, to be so unliked. And I didn't really want to bring this up on the show, but I'm going to because he brought it up. Baked Alaska, who up to recently was fine by identifying in white identity politics. And now he's out there denouncing ethnostates. He's denouncing Nazis. He's denouncing a lot of shit. And I don't understand. That's my big disconnect, along with obviously the, in my opinion, big controlled opposition question. Can't prove it. I just have a question. I'm just saying it smells of controlled opposition to me. I'm not making claims. I'm just saying it just stinks of it. And when you have someone like this half-baked Alaska guy coming around who has been fine dabbling in white identity politics till he gets his face maced at Charlottesville, and now all of a sudden facing lawsuits and jury, and the hammer comes down, and all of a sudden he's left and right denying ethnostates, whites, and I'm at a loss for this point. I'm not shocked that it happened, but it irks me to be polite about it.
Baked Alaska, I think he remained a Trump fan for a while. And the thing is, when I remember when Trump announced his candidacy, all my sheeple friends on Facebook were just screeching about it. And I watched his his tidbit where he's like, yeah, Mexicans. And I'm like, yeah, this is like a total controlled opposition from the start. And I saw right through it. And I think he was a Trump fan for a while, and it still is. I think his vision is we'll just keep playing identity politics in the Zog playpen till the end of time.
I think I'm just more senile and naive in my old age, but when Trump hit, I thought, okay, this is a regular guy who wants to get elected. You know, he's either talking out of the side of his ass or he believes all this shit, okay? And I really think he actually did believe it. And I think once he got into the White House, I think he figured out who the fuck was in charge real quick. And I don't know if there was threats made against his family or whatever, but his tone has completely 180'd. And I don't know if he was controlled opposition from get-go, but he's been definitely, at the very least, if he's not that, he's at least been compromised. And like I said in the beginning, we've talked that we did cover the election a little bit. We didn't go apeshit bonkers. I actually had to beg LG to go vote, even though him like me have basically given up on democracy in America and it being a gateway for whites to get a foothold. That's us all bullshit, and that's just a fucking fairy tale. But I basically had to beg him, just go vote. We never had this vested bastion saint view of Trump. It never was going to happen. We never felt that way. But we did think it was going to be thought it was gonna be a larger window that would open that would give us some breathing room so we could prepare, not have, fucking immigrants flooding us overnight, yada yada yada. Just a small window of opportunity to get our stuff together, get our shit together, so we can make preparations to either go out northwest or wherever we all plan on going before the balkanization hits. And we've had endless conversations about that. But so it just looks to me and smells to me that he went in there with obviously to me good intentions, but has been completely Jewed the fuck out. And I don't know what that entailed. I don't know if they threatened his family or something, but to go completely 180, it's weird, to say the least.
Yeah, I think it was from the start he was controlled opposition, such as he made statements about shutting down the internet, his heavy Jewish connections. Mm-hmm. I supposedly heard he bought his yacht from an Israeli arms dealer. if you're a billionaire, by definition, you are an insider. If you have over, I'm being generous with this, 30 million in the bank, you're an insider. What is it, 1% of the country or less makes more than $1 million a year or something, I've heard. I don't know the details about that. But the notion of him being an outsider is a total lie.
I don't know. I don't know what everyone gets all excited over democracy for. That's the part that's the fucking knife in my back getting twisted and pulled out and shoved back in and twisted again. It's at what point are we going to learn, dude? And I'm sick of fucking riding this train. Well, this fucking penis float of democracy.
You know what's really funny too is like he's been, as much as the left and the Jews and everybody complains about him, he's been the best vehicle for their complete narrative since day one. I mean, can you even think about the, I mean, it's already happening. Anti-white legislation is already starting to poke its head out the door. They already have some bullshit feel-good legislation about denouncing Charlottesville, denouncing white nationalists. Okay, that's all fine and dandy, yada, yada, yada. But can you imagine the backlash that's going to come right after Trump is rousted out of office? I mean, even if he doesn't, I mean, if he runs and gets reelected, which I don't think he's going to, it doesn't make a difference. Numbers, demographics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When they finally get control of the House, when they finally get control of everything, can you imagine the backlash that we've already have seen for people who are trying to vote for Trump getting beat up on the way to the polls and beat up at rallies? Can you imagine the backlash that we're going to have for whites, you know, all of us collectively voting and supporting Trump? Because that's coming.
Well, that's what I worry about. I mean, supposedly there's talk of this Kamala Harris character, who's some senator from California or rep from California, I think a senator, running for president and being like the mulatta, LGBT, whatever, friendly woman of color that takes on the gun lobby but combines the Bernie Sanders dreadlocks with the pantsuit skanks. In the DNC, or in the Democrats, there's two factions. There's the Bernie bros, which are white people with dreadlocks, what's left over from the 60s, and occasionally a bunch of BLM people. Yeah. But it's mostly white, delusional people. And then you've got, above them, the pantsuit skanks, which are these like upper middle class, mostly white women. You've got occasionally a few like light-skinned black women, Indian thrown in, and like homosexuals, mm-hmm. people that live and grew up in like gated communities, liberal family, and they're basically on top of the Bernie bros and telling them what to do. And the Bernie bros are never going to shake those people, and that's how the Democrats work, essentially. And you're not going to see a Bernie Sanders type character rise up, because if Bernie Sanders was elected, we might have had more acceleration than Trump. You're going to see sort of like a Kamala Harris type, or
yeah, another savior, another Barack Obama that nobody knows, and you know, this person's going to come fucking fireballing in and save us all from ourselves. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
And at the lightest skinned, it's going to be Elizabeth Warren, because a lot of these white girls in the feminist scene, they tend to get shit on by these like black women of color, LGBT, whatever thingies. And sadly, like when a handful of them make it to white nationalism, they're shit on by like all these guys in the alt-right. And my view on gender is pretty simple. Men and women are different and should be equal opportunity, and let the sexes gravitate to what they prefer.
Yep.
And in a sense, first wave feminism was a legitimate movement created by white women, but started to be corrupted by Jews.
Yep. Yes, it was.
And we're not going to roll back the clock and make women traditionalist slaves or whatever.
No.
Oh yeah, we covered the white Sharia thing. That was complete bullshit. That's divisive and just fucking short-sighted. I mean, we don't need women wearing sheets strapped to stoves. We need women, obviously, who are going to act like women and produce kids. But you know what? We also need shield maidens, too, because they're going to have to strap a rifle to their back as well. I mean, I'm not
saying...
they're
the last line of defense.
And man. I said, you know what? I don't remember if it was Vex or some of the other females we've had on the show, and I can't remember who I said this to, but I said, I realize, as a white nationalist, national socialist male, whatever, being a white male, we ask a lot of our women. I understand that. We do. I mean, I honestly think we do. And her attitude was like, well, we think you actually have to put up with a lot because you have to go out there and fight and voice. I said, yeah, but that's embedded in us, and that's what we're supposed to do. I said, we're expecting you to look good, smell good, have kids, and fucking shoot back. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Especially for a history and a lineage of women haven't had to do that since, you know, the birth of America. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's been just like in Europe where the fight's been bred out of them. Those skills have been bred out of women here in the States, and we're trying to get. I try to with my daughters and female and my you know other females that I run into as far as friends, family members, whatnot, and you know my own family. I try to get them back to that. You know, like gun ownership, not just shooting your husband's rifle, owning a gun, breaking it down, learning how to maintain it. You know, all this shit. I think it's important to have ownership of said weaponry. We don't live in a society anymore where we're going to have, we have to have shield maidens, period. And I know we've gotten shit about that before, and I don't really give a fuck. That's reality. So, yeah, the whole white Sharia thing, I mean, and I've been told on Sidebar, oh, it's just a joke, you know, it's like a meme, it's just funny, it's just the extreme reaction to feminism. No, it's not. It's talking out of the side of your fucking ass. It's completely divisive, and it stinks of Jewry to me. It has always smelled of Jewry, so no, I'm fucking dismissing it. This is another thing, too. If you live by the 14, you measure everything against the 14, that's how we roll. And you know what? Sometimes it's not what people want to hear. But that's it. I mean, it fucking frustrates me. The movement frustrates me. The current state of affairs frustrates me. I'm just a grumpy, warped old bastard, I guess. That's just all I am. That's it.
In some rant. Bitch.
So, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but you're a single guy, yeah? You're married, don't have any kids?
Yep, single.
Okay.
But so, I do regularly do the whole online dating thing, and I like, you know, I'll go on dates with women. Uh-huh. Because the thing is, you're unlikely to meet like a National Socialist woman,
right,
just like at the mall or in friggin', I don't know, whatever I do in my daily day-to-day life. So
well, you don't have that expectation though, do you?
It's possible.
It is possible. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it is impossible, but I think more times than not, you probably chances are better, or you're better. I don't want to say you're better off, because who knows what you're going to run into. But it's almost easier just to find of like a white identitarian or a libertarian broad that you can.
Right.
Well, I probably shouldn't say broad, but well, that you can kind of.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, in. I mean, yeah, my suggestion was going to be obviously great. I'm glad that, because I run into a lot of younger people I do talk to, especially male, are not always interested in finding a mate, because they want to find a fucking shield maiden, big bop boot, right off the bat. And yeah. I've tried to explain to them, even back in the day, in the history of our movement, women have been, you know, inducted into our movement usually from family members or a husband or boyfriend. I don't know why, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it's laid out. So my suggestion would be obviously find somebody who's a bit more. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't women out there that are racially, you know, awake. I mean, we had a young lady on the show that was just out of high school, and she's already in NS circles, and she actually ended up, like, you know, quote unquote, white pilling her boyfriend or whatnot. So it does happen the other way around. It just doesn't happen that often. So yeah, I would go back with LG's suggestion and probably trying to find a young lady who's racially conscious and not a complete, you know what I'm talking about. Just somebody who recognizes segregation or like the differences in race, if you will, and then move on from there. But yeah, you definitely need to get the girlfriend thing going, and then once you're out of school and do your thing, start making babies right away. That's important.
Yes.
Not that you need any life advice from us, but I don't know. It was funny that you brought it up.
Hey man, this is actually pretty good section, but also too, what are Edge, you get a little, brood of Nordlings running around. She gets pretty damn protective too, so she's definitely susceptible to reality and natural law when it comes to the damn kids too.
Right, nature's law starts taking its natural course. Going back to your dating though, I mean, what are your travels? How are your travels been as far as dating young ladies? I mean, do you have any like stories to tell or any kind of interesting quips or anything about that?
Actually, nothing too interesting. So I did start seeing a conservative woman that I showed her Murdoch episodes, and she thought they were funny. She didn't scream at me and talk about Jesus loves all the little children of the world.
Right.
And this is not conservative values, yada, yada, yada. Hmm. I mean, I've also dated like other women, and when I was in university, and high school in between, all that stuff. I mean, nothing too atypical.
Yeah. Have you had any complete meltdowns or blow-ups over females or ladies or whatnot, like finding out your political ideology?
Well, so one time I went on a date with this girl, two dates, and she basically said, "Hey, I'm not interested in seeing you." And I'm like, "Yeah, she's pretty, but her loss." And one year later, she texts me back and she's like, "Hey, how are you doing? Do you want to meet up? Like, I think I might actually like you." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" But then she couldn't meet up for some reason. She's like the type that likes to play games.
Oh, God, dude.
And yeah. And one time I just casually asked her, because she's blonde, and I'm like, "How's my Aryan angel doing?" And she flipped out at me over text.
Really?
Yeah, she flipped out at me over text.
That's
and
funny.
She's like, "What?" But she was like, "Whatever." And then, like,
she had just blocked her right there.
But it wasn't like, "I hate white people, I'm ashamed to be white." It was more like the sheeple reaction rather than like an SJW reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And later, I sent her, you know, that the band Race War?
Mm-hmm.
Like the video Aryan Angel, which is like a video of, it just has a song. It's one of those videos on YouTube with just a song. And she freaked out. And she's like, "You don't listen to Race War on a regular basis, do you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, time to time."
Hey, are you talking about the German band?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, I got one of their albums, but I don't think that song is on it. So they must have another album.
Yeah.
All right, but that's interesting.
It was just, to be honest, I didn't really see, based on like her playing games, I didn't really see us in a relationship.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
That was a while back. But
that's funny.
I have been guilty of not telling people I dated my views.
Right. Yeah, so, right. Yeah. Not at least not right away. I mean,
You don't necessarily have to, like, you know, spill everything on the first date, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they're, like, cool enough, like I said, to be racially aware as far as, like, you know, "I don't hang out with black people and I naturally hang out my own kind," you can work with that. I mean, obviously, that's not a very hard challenge. But, yeah, you know, I mean, seriously, you don't want to go blurting out, you know.
"Have you read Siege?"
Yeah.
Good book, by the way. So what about the St. Louis debacle? Because
we don't need to get into that. You pretty much covered covered it for tonight. But anyway, St. Louis was just a basic monkey shine, brouhaha, cop found not guilty of killing some nigger, and nigger's going to tear up the city.
Yeah, pretty much. But the weird thing about all these shootings, I mean, they, for all we know, they might be staged or something.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, there's the evidence that Sandy Hook is staged.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Do a whole show on that.
Yeah, maybe we should.
We should do a whole show on Sandy Hook. We should get Julie back on for that.
Yeah, I didn't like that episode. And I'm not one to go running around with a false flag up my butt, but that one was pretty.
I don't think everything's odd. A false flag, but that motherfucker was a false flag.
Yeah, that one was really weird.
Yeah, I'm not saying that everything's a false. Oh, every shooting's a false flag. No, it's not. But that one sure as fuck was.
Do you have any?
Go ahead, Edge.
Go ahead, Edge.
Do you have any questions you want to ask me, like what I've seen in the movement, like online, all that stuff?
Nope, we're gonna save that for next time you're on.
Oh, great.
Cool. You want to come back by sometime?
Sure, yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, speaking of which, though, when you were talking about dating, yeah, you know what, dude? Everything either reverts to books or movies, but when you were talking about that, I was going to say maybe you should go to church.
And I'm not Christian.
Well, then I thought of, you know, in, Hill of the Ravens, where he says that the War of Independence will be won by pagan men and Christian women. Do you remember?
I do.
You recall that part?
Yes, vaguely.
Because that I forgot his damn name, damn it. What was his name, Murdoch or whatever, you know, the flying column that got wasted on that hill. You know, the commander of that column was a pagan, and then he was dating like some high I don't want to say high ranking, but she was a Christian chick, and not many people knew about that, you know?
Yeah.
You'd have to read it, I guess. It make more sense if you read it, but yeah. Pagan men and Christian women.
Yes.
Good deal. You want to do the...
Maybe we should talk about Charlottesville. Look at it like this. Our movement has been all online since like the 2000s, and we finally get a real world presence, and it becomes a shit show.
Right. Well, it was
it's not surprising.
It was the Jew playbook, man. I mean, everything was done by the Jew playbook. They did exactly what they did, how they wanted to do it. They wanted to go down. They were in control of the whole situation from start to finish. Yeah. My answer to that is no more permits. No more permits. Don't ask permission. Do flash mob tactics like Billy Roper said on his cast and how I've said on my show. Just flash mob that shit, you know? And if you really want to start a party, do it on private property and leak that shit to Antifa. Leak that shit to Antifa and let them come over to private property. Then the real party starts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I understand the value of having pep rally type things or like similar to what we had at the Aryan Nations commune or Bob Miles's farm in Cahokta, Michigan, which is a reference that few people get, or the National Alliance. But yeah, those things were on private property.
Right. I think that's the way to go. That's the only takeaway I have from Charlottesville, to be honest, because you're playing in democratic circles with permits and permission from a system that basically wants your demise. It's set against your demise. So why we keep expecting the system to work for us is beyond me. I do not have an answer for that.
I'm very glad I did not go. Very, very glad. I could have gone, but I didn't. I had to work tomorrow. I had to work tomorrow. So my own greed prevented me from going, and I couldn't get off work that short term. So
I only wish the thing that Richard Spencer would have done in that window is that ship has sailed, more or less, is he should have doubled down. He should have had a second event right up his sleeve, ready to go right after that. I think that would have been the smart move, and now he's basically, you know, I don't know.
He's not going to be trying to recreate Charlottesville unless it's done on private property.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope not, man. I hope not. And I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but like you said, and it's not to take away from the guys that did go, just alone being cannon fodder for balloons filled with piss, shit, and who knows what else is bad enough. But yeah, dude, like you said, Lanzer Boy, the democratic circles from the top down, from the judges to the lawyers to the laws to the permits,
everybody,
to the politicians, to, you know, all the way down the line. It's like they didn't have a chance, man. You're playing their game by their rules, and they can change the rules at any time.
Yep.
And they totally, that whole thing got fucked.
What'd you expect? I mean, I don't know why I'm the only one sitting sideline going, well, there you go. I mean, I hate to be like that, but we've seen this before. We've seen this time and time again. I know it's new for this group of kids. I get that. Like, they're not used to having the Constitution so deeply stuffed up their ass. I understand that. Like, I get that. But for us who've been in this movement a long time, it happens all the time. And it's actually worse. Entire families are fucking wiped out. Or you get accused of fucking, you know, you get accused of some crime you didn't commit, and they throw you in a dark hole.
So what was the last rally before Charlottesville that was the largest? Like, do you guys remember?
Wasn't that Berkeley shit?
Yeah.
No. I mean, actual white nationalists, not like Rockwell. Southern shows.
Probably like, something Rockwell put together in the 60s.
Basically, how you need to understand white nationalism today is basically, in the words of Harold Covington, Pierce was essentially a principal in a middle school, and he left and the children ran wild.
Right.
Oh. Yep.
Huh. Well, you want to wrap this up, LG?
Let me end the Charlotte comment with this, okay?
All right, yeah.
Whatever weapon your enemy possesses must be duplicated or improved upon by you. If it suits in the challenge battle in open front, be sure and ambush him in the flank. or straightaway make a hidden detour to and charge him in the rear. It is your chief business to delude him, deceive him, decoy him, outgeneral him if you can. If moral scruples and fear of, quote, what the world will say, end quote, prevents you from doing this, then you were born to subordination and you had better surrender. For you can never hope to vanquish. You must be born again. So basically, don't fight fair with these fucking people.
Yeah,
that was good.
That's what I was going to start with, actually, but...
Really?
Well, yeah, I always think of Charlotte or cases like Charlottesville when I read shit like that. It's like, you never meet the enemy fucking face-to-face. You never, right. Never balance it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, this is survival, dude. This is survival. You got to win. Win or die.
Win or die. All right, well, I want to thank... Edge for stopping by Racing Nation tonight. Thank you kindly, sir, for stopping by.
It's been a pleasure.
Yep.
And hopefully you stop by again some other time. Yes. I really would appreciate to have another conversation with you. I want to thank, as always, my comrade in fight, Lord Goyhammer, for gracing us with his presence tonight. And everyone in the Racing Nation family, I want to say hail victory.
Hail victory.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Edge, for coming on. Yeah, we appreciate that. Definitely want to raise a mead-filled horn to William the Balkanizer, Jarl of the Shield Wall Network. Hails to you, brother. Defeat never, victory forever.
Hail victory, brother. Yeah.
idols polluted and renowned. Leave me back to face the hell who dies upon his stone. Leave me die scattered out of all this wasted grain. Leave me a death and struggle not to come to fear. And the tools are tried to mold. And it was way with kindness burned the temple room with gold. I was waiting for vocal children from an ever pain. I landed for it, moon and for it, gospel of the day.
Is a general discussion of certain aspects of human and political dynamics. It does not advocate, pledge or incite any individual group to commit unlawful acts of violence against anyone.
Bloopers! Bloopers!
Just don't move.
Yeah, your cord's kind of shitty.
Oh no, like, I don't have a cord. Will this be the, this won't be the racist show heard around the world.
If you're worried about saying fuck, nigger, spicks, or kikes, then you can pretty much just relax because we drop that all the time. So
no, I was just gonna say Lanza Boy's had helicopters hovering over his house. But they're fucking videotaping an accident on the freeway about 10
hey,
miles.
Hey, motherfucker, followed me to work, dude. Hey, keep on fucking laughing. They fucking happen. Yeah. That's.
Coming for me, Lanza Boy.
And tonight we have another comrade with us tonight. I can't say tonight like twice in the same sentence.
Everything is well, you could say. At first, I hope these evil group of angry bald heads were wrong. I hope they were just psychos, but they're not.
The thing that kind of hit me, that or it didn't hit me, it kind of struck me as like, I don't want to use any fucking faggot alt-right words. It kind of depressed. Yeah, blackpilled me. I don't know. I might even just edit it because it might sound really stupid. But this 4chan, I don't understand really what it is. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, it sounds like a bunch of really smart, like computer geek squad type dudes.
I prefer the weapons section.
Now I got a little more of an idea what the hell it is with 4chan and then the polls section or whatever. That sounds gay. For one, that when they found that Hollywood faggots fucking You Will Not Divide Us flag way out in the middle of nowhere. You know what else that reminded me of? Here comes the fanboy shit. But you know in the Northwest novels how there's always the computer whiz dude?
Yes, third section.
Yeah, those fuckers. Those are the dudes who would be joining third section. If we're gonna be, you know what I mean? Yeah, well, there's always a thunderground in every struggle, isn't there?
And like homosexuals, and they're basically on top of the Bernie bros. A lot of these white girls in the feminist scene, they tend to get shit on by these like black women of color.
And it stinks of Jewry to me.
Well, I probably shouldn't say broad, but well, that you can kind of, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of the, well, a lot of the, yeah, exactly. Said. A lot of the women in the, oh, come on, man. You gotta say that.
Sorry, this is.
So my point being is, okay, dude. Oh, sorry. So I guess, I mean, oh, shit. Now you threw me the fuck off. Thanks a lot, dick. So.
Have you read Siege?
Oh, God, do I have to?
Well,
don't make me talk about Charlottesville, dude.
No.
Like, they're not used to having the Constitution so deeply stuffed up their ass.
Edit that out. Okay. He is a homosexual.
That's some degenerate shit.
Fuck America, I'm done.